From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In the end, it was Mitt Romney by a corn silk in Iowa.
This is a campaign night where America wins. We're going to change the White House and get America back on track.
But what track? It's a vote so close, the headlines say dead heat. Not with Gingrich or Perry or Bachman or even big vote-getter Ron Paul. It's a dead heat with faith and family conservative Rick Santorum. He had two words for Mitt Romney last night and Romney's eight-vote win.
Game on.
Game on, he says, and it's certainly not game over. This hour On Point, the meaning of Iowa and the GOP's road ahead. You can join the conversation. Iowans, what are you telling us? What did you see in the fight for your votes? What have we all just seen in Iowa? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Des Moines, Iowa, is Kathy Obradovich, political columnist for the Des Moines Register. Kathy, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Boy, did you call this. 2 days before the election, your headline is, 2 days left to go, Santorum has the hot hand, and here he is. He was in dead last, and here he is, right neck and neck, 26% each, eight votes separating with Mitt Romney. Tell us about what happened with Rick Santorum.
I think this has been a really unprecedented rise for Rick Santorum. Our poll, the Des Moines Register's Iowa poll, was in the field last week, midweek. After 2 days of polling, Santorum was still kind of, lingering toward the bottom of the pack. And then all of a sudden, starting about Wednesday, he started shooting up. And in our paper on Sunday, we had a little poll or a little, actually a graphic that showed, had the trend line continued that if we'd stayed in the field and that trend line continued, that Rick Santorum would end up on top of the pack. And in fact, he very nearly got there.
So maybe it's a good thing for Mitt Romney that the vote happened yesterday and not today or tomorrow or the next day. On the other hand, he took it. This is Iowa that he lost last time out 4 years ago. And by eight Iowans' votes, he got it. What does this leave us, Kathy?
Well, in some ways, a win is a win, and Mitt Romney has to go away happy that he can say that he won the Iowa caucuses. That's the stat that goes down into the record books. But in Iowa, a win is also not always a win, and the guy who beats expectations is usually the guy who gets the story, who gets the headlines, who comes out of Iowa with a head of steam. And by all measures, that has got to be Rick Santorum today.
Here's Santorum in Johnston, Iowa last night, thanking Iowa voters.
By standing up and being bold and leading with that burden and responsibility you have to be first, you have taken the first step of taking back this country.
Romney wins it by eight votes, but Santorum comes from nowhere to within that tiny whisker. What was the rocket fuel in Rick Santorum's tank here, Kathy?
Well, I think a couple of things were going on here. First of all, Rick Santorum had really been the only conservative candidate who had not gone on the roller coaster of going up to the top of the polls, being smashed by fellow candidates and media stories, and then sliding right back down. So he was the only guy left, really, that caucus goers could turn to who hadn't already been dented and bruised.
Mm-hmm.
His rise comes as Newt Gingrich was starting to slide. Also, Ron Paul, who had been leading the polls, had been subjected to about a week and a half of negative advertising because he was having his turn at the top, and he was starting to slide a little bit. And so it also came as evangelical leaders in Iowa were pleading with people to try to rally around a candidate so that they would make sure that they had one of those fabled tickets out of Iowa. It's said that, you have three tickets out of Iowa, win, place, and show, or maybe first class, economy class,
right,
and standby.
Right. And they wanted their guy in there. And at the end, maybe they've got him. So what does this say? If Iowans had turned here and turned there, they turned to Gingrich. People had risen and fallen. Bachman and Perry now way back in the pack, 10%, 5%. Perry back in Texas thinking about dropping out. We'll hear more from Bachman today. But does this mean that the anybody but Mitt dynamic is still in full flower here? He's got great poll numbers in New Hampshire, but South Carolina, very conservative, is right behind New Hampshire. Is that what's still driving it? Can it be Mitt or can it not be Mitt for this GOP?
I don't think it's anybody but Mitt, but it is a situation where Iowa conservatives in particular wanted to make sure that one of them was represented by the results in Iowa. And Mitt Romney had not spent a lot of time in Iowa. He had not courted the religious conservative vote. He had made a point of saying he was going to focus on his wheelhouse, the economy, and not talk about the sort of social conservative issues like abortion, gay marriage, that was very important to a segment of voters. And it was important to them to try to make sure that those issues were still part of the conversation. So they did work hard to get one of their own out there. But, you know, I think that what's going on in Iowa is a sort of a microcosm of the conversation going on in the Republican Party generally. Do you nominate somebody who is, you know, generally speaking, potentially more attractive to independents, for example, more of a solid choice for a traditional general election? Or do you nominate somebody who is the sharpest possible contrast with Barack Obama on a variety of issues? And then you've got this sort of libertarian streak in the middle with Ron Paul. And he I was very surprised that Ron Paul did as well as he did in Iowa by the end of the day. But he really started bringing in younger voters, started bringing in new people into the caucuses, and started bringing in people who were sort of leaning toward independents and not traditional Republicans.
A very strong turnout for Ron Paul. Mitt Romney, 24.6%. Rick Santorum, 24.6%. Dead heat, the Wall Street Journal says. Ron Paul, 21.3%, right behind them there. Newt Gingrich back at 13.3% after his very recent rise and then fall. Rick Perry, 10%. Reconsidering everything. Michelle Bachmann, 5%. We'll see what goes on there. Headlines out of this thing. First vote reinforces GOP's ideological divide. Let's get a Republican perspective on this. Kathy Obradovich, please stand by in Des Moines. It's so good to have you there in Iowa today. With us right now from Washington is Kim Alfano, keen-eyed Republican political consultant, president, CEO of Alfano Communications. Kim Alfano, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you with us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. I like that keen-eyed thing.
You like that?
You can say that as much as you want.
keen-eyed. What has Iowa just told us?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, Iowa has told us that they are relevant and that they are sober thinking. I think they had a choice yesterday to either sober up the Republican Party or let the clown show continue. And I think what they said is, hey, Iowans are thinking smart people. We showed you the two smart thinking choices. We sent our message loud and clear, as Kathy just said, that there are social conservatives that have, I think, the candidate in Rick Santorum that is not cartoonish. That is not that is a little deeper, not a mile wide and an inch deep. He is the guy that is not going to be so easy to paint with negative ads because he doesn't have wild things that he said. You know, pages and pages of wild things that he said. He doesn't have a crazy, you know, long record. His record's pretty milquetoast. It's pretty hardcore conservative, yes, but that's good as a Republican.
Well, I don't. I mean, you call it milquetoast, but I mean, he did lose his seat in the U.S. Senate, and it was partly because he was so flamboyantly outspoken on people's sexuality, comparing homosexuality to man dog, and all, I mean, that was pretty vivid.
You know, I think you're right, and as you say those things in terms of social issues in a Republican primary, that's not going to be outrageous, and I think in a general election certainly, but the things he said weren't you know, they weren't painted as being dumb or inaccurate. They may be, you know, in a general election, they may be looked on as being sort of archaic or not. You know, maybe not the thing that a general election audience wants to hear, but he's very strong on his social values. That is that religious part of the Republican Party wants to hear it.
Can he win? Can he, or is it? Oh, Romney goes on, gets a big win in New Hampshire, and that's it. And this is just a moment here.
No, I think he can. I think it's going to be a strong fight, and I think the party is going to have to make a decision. Do we want the you know, executive leader, the economic leader, the guy that may not be pure to the bone, or do we want the blue-collar, authentically conservative social leader? And it's hard for the party. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Let's hear right from Iowa, if we may, Kim. Kathy, Bill's calling from Sac City, Iowa. Bill, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah.
And I'm from a rural county in Iowa, and what happened at our caucus is that a very strong supporter of Rick Santorum spoke, and stated that those individuals who support Rick Perry or Michelle Bachmann should swing over to support Rick Santorum to make their conservative voice heard. And Bob Vanderplaats, who has a strong family life evangelical organization, is the leader of the religious right in this state,
yep.
And he came out in favor of Rick Santorum. And when that happened, Mr. Santorum rose very suddenly, and his group, I suspect, probably put their organization to work to swing the vote in this state very quickly.
Bill, is it a repudiation of Mitt Romney to come in, neck and neck with Santorum? Is that what we see, or something else?
I don't think that's true. I think with Mitt Romney coming out in a dead heat is a real victory in Iowa,
okay.
Because with our caucuses, we have a very strong minority evangelical right, and they can skew the vote very quickly in a relatively small turnout. So in a state where only 122,000 people show up for the caucuses, a small evangelical group can really skew that vote in their favor, and it makes it misconstrued as to what's really happening as far as the state is concerned.
Well, that is very interesting. Skew it or stamp it with their Iowa mark. Bill, I appreciate your call. Kathy Obradovich with the Des Moines Register. I want to come back and look at that, whether Iowa has done something singularly Iowan here or something that will resonate across the rest of the Republican contest. Kim Alfano in Washington, please stand by. We're talking this hour about the squeaker out of Iowa. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking today about the squeaker out of Iowa last night, the Iowa caucuses, and their 8-vote win for Mitt Romney. Santorum's game on, looking at the GOP rumble here. Kathy Obradovich is with us. She's political columnist for the Des Moines Register. Called it just right, talking about the hot hand of Rick Santorum in the last couple of days of this election. And boy, was it from Nowheresville to right, literally neck and neck. 8 votes from Mitt Romney. Kim Alfano is with us from Washington, D.C. She's a GOP political consultant. Here was Matt Strawn last night, chairman of the Iowa GOP, announcing the final totals just after 1:30 in the morning, Iowa time.
Governor Mitt Romney received 30,015 votes. Senator Rick Santorum received 30,007 votes.
And there it is, Rick Santorum on the line with the big guy, reaffirming here at last night after the caucuses his religious values.
God has given us this great country to allow his people, to be free. Has given us that dignity because we are a creation of his. And we need to honor that creation. And whether it's the sanctity of life in the womb, or the dignity of every working person in America to fulfill their potential, you will have a friend in Rick Santorum. We are off to New Hampshire.
God, creation, and sanctity with Rick Santorum last night off to New Hampshire. John Huntsman skipped Iowa, put his energy into New Hampshire. Yesterday, he talked with Will Rand from the Daily Caller, asked him about the Iowa caucuses.
Do you have a message to the winner of tonight's Iowa caucuses?
A message to the winner of the Iowa caucus. It would be welcome to New Hampshire, nobody cares.
Well, he wishes anyway. John Huntsman right there. Neil King joins us right now. Neil King, Jr., political reporter for the Wall Street Journal, joins us from Des Moines, Iowa. Neil, thanks very much. Welcome back to On Point. Great to have you.
Thanks, Tom.
What do you think is the big headline out of this result?
Just a very fractured Republican Party that's going to, you know, be searching in the weeks ahead for sort of the core of what it's all about and the soul of what it's all about. In the end, it'll probably, you know, default to Mitt Romney, but it's going to bury a lot of the divisions that are out there. And we saw certainly an extraordinary rise in the whole libertarian way of thinking and that part of the party, the youth vote, hugely behind Ron Paul, indicating at least here in Iowa that the future of the party is in that direction. And then, of course, just the, you know, what can happen if somebody runs a really concentrated, focused, low-radar campaign like Rick Santorum did with a lot of talent. I mean, he proved last night that he speaks well.
Yeah.
He way out-talked Romney in terms of his presentation and actually almost sort of gave us a reminder of what Obama was like 4 years ago while Mitt Romney came out and gave a very kind of scattered speech that didn't really amount to all that much. So it was just an amazing night.
Here's a little more of Rick Santorum, again, in Johnston, Iowa last night, rejecting the idea that it was game over.
The message I shared with you tonight is not an Iowa message or an Iowa and South Carolina message. It is a message that will resonate across this land. It will resonate, I know, in New Hampshire.
Neil King, do you buy that? He says game on. Mitt Romney would like to say game over, though he didn't try to quite say that last night, given how close it was. But can Rick Santorum, with very little, infrastructure here, really put the game on? Can he really put this in play?
Well, I'm not putting him out of the question in New Hampshire. I think with a week to go, it's going to be very hard for him to get anywhere close to beating Mitt Romney. He has spent the second most amount of time there, Santorum has. He's been there something like 30 times. But he just worked this state and basically lived here for the last several months, and in the end that caught hold. But, I wouldn't put it totally out of the question that he could scare Romney a bit, because, for one, Romney's going to get beaten up by Ron Paul, by Newt Gingrich, by Santorum, which he wasn't here at all in any of the ads. And, as a lot of the entrance polling showed us last night, huge numbers of the people that went for Santorum went for him in the last week or even in the last 24 hours. So it shows that movement's possible, and I don't think things are totally fixed in New Hampshire.
But look past New Hampshire for a minute. We don't want to discount it. Romney is counting from the polls on a big win there. He may get it. But then he turns back south again. He turns to, even fundamentalist country a little more, values country, South Carolina. Is there a scenario where Romney does very well in New Hampshire, where he has a home and all the rest, but then stumbles and the game is really on again big time out of South Carolina, Neil?
Yeah, well, South Carolina, you can look back at where he was 4 years ago. Romney barely topped 20% in any single county. He was fourth there. He had none of the sort of quasi-strongholds that he had here in Iowa. One thing is worth noting is he got about 100 votes more than he got the last time. So the guy who's supposed to carry the banner into the general election managed to barely beat himself from 4 years ago. The tough thing, it's just hard to overstate Romney's organization. He is just organized like crazy in Florida. He's organized way down the calendar into the months of February, March, April. He's got, street soldiers everywhere, all kinds of elected officials that are on his side. John McCain is going to come out for him today. So the establishment is going to rally around him in a huge way. It already has. And will that make the difference? It's hard to say, but it would be extraordinary if Rick Santorum could beat him in Florida, which is a big money state and a state that you cannot do the retail campaigning in.
And, of course, Mitt Romney has this basic argument, which he's been saying a lot in recent days and said again last night in Des Moines.
After being inaugurated, he was on the Today Show, and he said, look, if I can't get this economy turned around in 3 years, I'll be looking at a one-term proposition. And we are here to collect. Let me tell you.
And, of course, he's aiming that right at Barack Obama. Kim Alfano, give us your analysis here. Is it really game on? Is it really, really game on with all Romney's money, with his organization, with the big super PAC money that's lined up with him? Or is that just wishful thinking from Santorum?
Well, the fundamentals work. If Iowa told us anything, Rick put in the time in Iowa and the fundamentals worked for him. However, second place in New Hampshire is not a bad thing. Third place in New Hampshire is not a bad thing. That buys Santorum time, and that's still a win for him. That's still a victory for him. That keeps him alive. And the question is, does the money and does the organization come to him? Do the operatives, does the money, does the all the residuals, all the one or two people that were great from all the other campaigns come over to him and quickly organize? I don't think the party is going to let the debate stop. I don't think because Romney is not a purely ideological conservative Republican in a year like this, where it's so important. If you see what goes on even in the Congress over things.
Even between Boehner and the Tea Party caucus, the freshman.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not going to let him skate, I don't think, into fighting the president, because we're really burned. I think we really want to know whoever's next is going to change the party back. I think the Tea Party, if they've done anything for the party, is that they've brought us back to the core principles of the party, and we've gotten sort of to the point now where we may jump the shark and go too far. But I think the nomination process for the next person who's going to run against the president and potentially be the next president, hopefully be the next president, I think that has to stay relevant. So I think that there's some force out there that's always going to keep that conservative element going.
Boy, what an interesting thing this year, and creating a result like no other in Iowa history. Kathy Obradovich, you're right there at the Des Moines Register. I mean, that's your bailiwick, that's your oyster. But what does your gut tell you, watching the way Romney's pushed and pushed, and then this result? I mean, how deep is the split here? How deep the resistance to Romney? How deep the urge for something more conservative than Mitt Romney? And is it deep enough to keep this nomination in play and the character of the next, the Republican challenger, maybe the next president in play, all the way into the summer?
I have to tell you, Tom, that I can't agree that this is purely an anti-Romney vote. Yeah. When the Des Moines Register's poll came out, we asked voters not just who they liked the most, but we asked who they liked the least. Who do you think was the winner of that, the dubious booby prize of who you liked the least? Newt Gingrich.
Wow. Okay.
Ron Paul was second. Michelle Bachmann was third. Romney came in fourth as far as the candidate liked the least. We also asked, how enthusiastic will you be if the various candidates are the nominee? Well, okay. Again, least enthusiastic for Newt Gingrich. Romney way down at only 20% saying that they wouldn't support him if he were the nominee. Now, 20% may be a big deal eventually for Romney in Iowa, which is a battleground, and he's going to have to fight for every vote. But I just don't see this reading as anyone but Romney. It was a question of, who is the best to carry the conservative banner forward, not necessarily who is the anti-Romney.
Well, the conservatives are really gathering right now. Here's a story just out of Politico saying that movement conservatives have called an emergency meeting in Texas next weekend to find a consensus Republican presidential hopeful. That a lot of these people were behind Perry. I guess they're not really for Romney. They're not sure that Santorum can do it, or maybe they'll swing in behind him. Neil King, do you agree that this was not an anti-Romney vote? I mean, you don't have to put it in terms of his personality. You don't have to put it in terms of his religious faith. But there's clearly something here about the coloring of his politics. I mean, Newt Gingrich, of course, he's got a big interest in this. But he says the real story is that 3/4 of the state Republican caucus goers repudiated Mitt Romney and his politics too moderate, says Newt.
Romney is just not exciting, people. I mean, I don't think necessarily that Iowa is the best litmus test for it, because if you look at the number of people that came out, it was a fairly high number, relative to other numbers, but it was still a fraction.
Not that much bigger than 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Not that much bigger than 4 years ago, though.
Yeah, and, it is obviously a very conservative base here, and there was a certain element of pragmatism, which you are going to see, I think, across the country, that's basically, okay, the important thing is to beat Barack Obama, but what I really wonder about Romney's whole strategy is he's not, like, if you watch him last night, there's this very little that's actually overtly aspirational about what he's saying that's making people, I mean, he's trying to cloak himself in this restore America and we will bring back the greatness and the amber graves of grains of wave. Sorry,
not amber graves of wave, we hope.
I'm not sure that it's really working like viscerally, and it's just a tough thing. I interviewed him last week, and I basically asked him, I said, when is the Republican Party going to fall in love with you? How do you see that happening? And he said, the Republican Party will fall in love with the nominee. Whoever the nominee is, in the end, the party will love that person. But that's fine. But
it's
one thing,
formalistic.
You can't be elected president as just the Republican Party's nominee. You have to get huge numbers of people to come over to your side who were not Republicans. And I'm still not really sure whether he's going to win the aspirational battle against Barack Obama, just in terms of sort of who wants what sort of person and what kind of feel to run the country. This is such an anti-Obama campaign.
Yep.
That I just wonder there's a lot of risk in that kind of campaign.
Kim, what about the fervor factor with Mitt Romney?
That is such a great point, because the one thing that you do see in Santorum, that's not ideological, is just an authenticity. I mean, it's just there. His speech last night, as he talked about his grandfather, and there was a video earlier when he talked about his daughter, who is a special needs daughter. I mean, you can't watch that video about his daughter and not just love the guy and just fall in love with him. Even if you could be the most liberal woman on the planet and love the guy, because it's purely authentic, he's got that connect with the people. He can do the working class speech and meet with the Reagan Republicans, the working class Reagan Republicans. He's got the touch.
Yeah, but you know,
Mitt Romney,
most liberal woman on the planet is going to stumble a little bit on that abortion stand. It does stand right there. Let me get a call from Des Moines here. Jamie is calling. Hi, Jamie. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Pretty well. What do you think?
Well, I was at the caucus that Ron Paul came and actually was his own.
Opposed
to having a surrogate.
Yeah.
And it was actually just really wonderful to see that. His speech was, you know, he kind of started slow, as he often does, and really kind of knocked it out of the park. And at my caucus, there was a number of people who were waffling. I've heard people say, well, people knew who they were going to caucus for, but people were very undecided at my caucus. I live in an area where there's a lot of fiscal Republicans,
yep.
And Santorum was not. They're not after an ecclesiastical leader. They're after a governmental leader.
Not so, after an ecclesiastical leader. That's interesting. Jamie, do you think Ron Paul can win? He's got a huge showing here in Iowa. Is he a viable candidate all the way?
Well, he brings in different people. And the point I was going to make is my daughter is 23, and she's actually involved in a volunteer program that I'm not allowed to say its name.
Mm-hmm.
However, she stayed. She was on her break, and she stayed an extra day so she could caucus for Ron Paul. An intern in my office left early because he wanted to make sure he was registered to caucus for Ron Paul. Now, my daughter voted for Barack Obama, as did my intern.
Yeah.
So he reaches people that are different.
We're going to have to look at that Ron Paul factor. And Jamie, I'm really glad you described that scene there last night with people struggling or working on those choices. And we're just in, as we talk here, sources close to Michelle Bachmann saying she is suspending her campaign. More to come on that. John in Swisher, Iowa. John, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
One of the things that bothered me at our caucus was, I went for Barack Obama and I caucused for him last time. And this time, I really like Ron Paul. I'm a recent convert.
Okay.
And the message at the caucus was, no matter who your nominee is, if he doesn't or she doesn't get the nod, then you need to support whoever the winner is.
That's what the Ron Paul people were saying, even. If it's not Ron Paul, go for Mitt Romney or go for Rick or whoever the winner is.
No. And Ron Paul's people did not say that. It was the hardcore Republicans.
I see.
Saying that.
Right. So settle down, Ron Paul people. Don't jump ship, I guess.
Right. And I was sitting right across from the Ron Paul representative, and I said, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to do that. I said, if it's not Ron Paul, I'm going to vote for Obama again.
You know, John, I'm glad you raised exactly that perspective. Kathy, we've just got half a minute before the break, but with Ron Paul coming in number three here with a very strong showing, and people, voters like, our caller right here in Swisher, Iowa, saying it's Paul or nobody for me, or even I'll go to Obama, how big is that wild card in this situation, Kathy?
That is very consistent with what we saw in our polling. Voters who liked Ron Paul generally did not like other candidates. I mean, it hardly even could pick a second choice. And voters who liked other candidates generally did not like Ron Paul. There's not a lot of cross-pollination between those groups. Paul did bring in different people, the folks that may have voted for Barack Obama. And that is a significant question when you get to the general election.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the squeaker out of Iowa last night, the Iowa caucuses, and their 8-vote win for Mitt Romney. Santorum's game on, the GOP rumble in front of us right here. Kathy Obradovich joins us in the Des Moines Register today. Neil King is in Des Moines for the Wall Street Journal, been following all this, political reporter there. Kim Alfano, Republican political consultant, keen-eyed no less, is with us from Washington. Here was Ron Paul last night in Ankeny, Iowa, celebrating his third place win, but very close to the front two with supporters.
Tonight we have come out of an election and we're essentially three winners, three top vote getters, and we will go on. We will raise the money. I have no doubt about the volunteers. They're going to be there.
Ron Paul feeling pretty good last night in Iowa, even with that third place finish. Here's Newt Gingrich going to fight back against Mitt Romney and the negative super PAC ads that really pounded on him.
We are not going to go out and run nasty ads. We're not going to go out and run 30-second gotchas. We're not. But I do reserve the right to tell the truth.
The truth. And big debates in New Hampshire over this weekend before New Hampshire next week. We'll hear a lot more about that. Neil King, what about the Ron Paul factor here and how it plays out just in the numbers, the enthusiasm, and who stays in to vote GOP and who doesn't?
You know, the way he portrayed it, that he can raise the money and he's got volunteers, he's absolutely right. The interesting thing is that sort of below the radar of all this, the Ron Paul people are playing a very different game than the other candidates are. Like in Iowa, I went down to one of the counties, Jefferson County, where there's this interesting stronghold of Ron Paul supporters, and it was the county that he took by the largest margin, and yes, they wanted to win the beauty pageant that was the vote last night, which has no effect at all on the delegate awarding of actual delegates, but their main role was to get all the various precinct people elected in all these various places that will be in the county convention, will go on to the state convention, and will pick the real delegates that go to Tampa for the convention. And their whole aim is to get those delegates, and in the end, they probably will win Iowa, is my bet, when it comes to the delegate count, because of that hyper-organization. And they want to be a disruptive force, if nothing else, at the convention, and give Ron Paul a platform there to make his case to affect the Republican Party from within. I don't think that they really think he's going to become the nominee, but they are very diligently working to get as strong a foothold as they can at the convention. That's really what this is about.
Kim Alfano, could Ron Paul end up a kingmaker here? Could he ultimately bolt the party with his voters at some point and kind of, be the spike in the wheel?
I don't think Ron Paul bolts the party because I think he has a son who someday might want to run. And I don't think he does that to the party, but I do think he's maybe not a kingmaker, but he's a message sender. And I think that's maybe what Rick Santorum ends up to be, too. I don't think it's anybody but Romney, as Kathy was saying earlier. I don't think they are going to continue to be anybody but Mitt. But I think they are going to say, keep your ears peeled, Mitt, because we're going to continue to send you this message and keep you honest. When this process is done, you will not dare move off the conservative platform that you pledged yourself to, that we gave you the nomination. So I think that Ron Paul will stay in for that Tea Party message, and I think Santorum will stay in and keep that that religious flavor in there and that social conservative flavor in there, and they'll keep Mitt Romney honest to the end.
Ron Paul in for the Tea Party message. Ron Paul in for son Rand Paul. Lots of feedback online here. EB says, Mr. Ashbrook, please do not call what the evangelicals do an Iowa stamp. We Iowans are not all religiously crazy, EB says, and we do not want to be lumped together as evangelically crazy. Well, all right, call it what you will. They had their numbers, but point taken, EB. And here's another question maybe for you, Kathy, there in Des Moines. Tom, can you ask your guests who got the most independent votes, and what does that say for the general election? Kathy, can you sort those out, or is it all just in the barrel together?
Well, eventually it will be sorted out, because people who started off as independents had to re-register as Republicans at their caucus. So we will see those numbers. Looking at the polling going in, I'm pretty sure that it will be Ron Paul who got most of those independent votes, and also probably the largest share of new caucus goers. He was also leading with young caucus goers, like under age 35. And I saw some interest poll numbers that suggested that that's the kind of turnout he had. You know, I saw Sarah Palin on Fox News last night saying the Republican Party ignores Ron Paul's voters and the message that and their issues at its peril. And that's a loose paraphrase, but I totally agree. I think that the Republican Party and probably Mitt Romney is going to have to start looking at parts of Ron Paul's message that they can co-opt, because I do think that this could very well be a force that they're going to have to deal with at the convention if they don't start to deal with it sooner.
Mitt Romney co-opting Ron Paul's message. Wow, we're in some time. Phyllis in West Des Moines, Iowa. Phyllis, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling because I was disappointed that Santorum got such a heavy vote after he was recorded as saying that he was going to get all the black people in Iowa off of the rolls, when actually 84% of the people in on public aid in Iowa are white. And it's like he was spreading something that is not true to an all-white audience. He was caught on tape. It was on the news. It was on the national news and local. And I'm not white. And I have a PhD, and I've always worked. And everybody I know has always worked.
And it sounded like a race card to you.
White and black.
Yeah.
And because I have all kinds of friends. And I don't know what to think of Iowa now. I've always thought very well of Iowa as a place that's accepting. And what really disappointed me is that the audience he was speaking to applauded when he said that.
And that hurt.
What am I to it hurt, and what am I to think about that? And why no one on this talk show is mentioning it.
Well, you are right now, Phyllis, and I'm glad you are. I appreciate your call. Neil King, what about that? And Phyllis raises a kind of race card moment as she heard it as a non-white Iowan from Rick Santorum. And I guess along with that, the notion, I mean, Kim says, you know, everybody's bracing up around a more conservative message here, but is there a harshness to Rick Santorum's conservatism that could end up being a problem for the GOP, for Mitt Romney, if he takes on more of that coloring?
Well, there has been a bit of that, and I think he's probably, it was interesting, last night you could see him already starting to alter his persona a bit and emphasizing his working class roots and, you know, some of the things that have already been mentioned on here in terms of his appeal and even working and reaching out to, talking about workers and fairness to workers.
You mean Santorum?
Like pardon me?
You mean Santorum,
Santorum
last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, as he talked about sort of God and faith, but also wrapping that around the American worker, yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think one needs to personally worry all that much about Iowa. I mean, if one looks back 4 years ago, it was probably the biggest single historic moment in the rise of Barack Obama that a overwhelmingly white state in the middle of the country like Iowa gave him his biggest victory and really launched him to the White House. So, you know, I think for Santorum, coming from kind of working class roots in a certain part of Pennsylvania, I mean, he is going to have to, I think, work a little bit to kind of broaden his appeal so that he's not mainly appealing to, you know, white working class voters or, you know, churchgoers in Iowa. And I think that's sort of one of the challenges that he faces going forward is to make himself bigger than Pennsylvania and bigger than his previous base of support.
Though he was very focused in trying to do that last night, saying Western Pennsylvania and Ohio and Indiana and Missouri, as he had it last night. Sue in Des Moines, Iowa. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Sue Dvorsky. I'm the chairwoman of the Iowa Democratic Party.
Oh, okay. What are you thinking today?
We are in quick recovery mode here, but we are all just really excited about what happened last night.
Why?
We had a great night here.
Why?
Well, you know, we turned out nearly 25,000 Iowa Democrats. You know, I know the story and the drama and all that is on the side of whatever team is picking their presidential nominee. But, you know, it's a less glamorous story.
Oh, you're saying you're excited about the fact that the Democrats caucused in Iowa and came out for Barack Obama. But I mean, we totally sort of take that as foregone conclusion. But what about the Republican outcome? Does it look promising to you for the president's reelection effort or difficult?
Well, I'll tell you, it does. My job can only be here in Iowa. But I'll tell you this. Mitt Romney's win, and I'm using the air quotes, although we're on radio, this is a five-year, $10 million plan that got him literally
Squeaker.
The same place he started from.
Mm-hmm.
And the counties that he won, if you take a careful look at the map, which is kind of our job here now on the ground in analysis, he won 17 of the 99 counties. Of those counties, 13 of them are the highest performing Democratic counties in this state. So I got to tell you, whether he's the inevitable nominee or not, if he's the eventual nominee, he comes back here with no ground at all.
Well, that's interesting.
And so I feel good about that because that not, you know, it's the president's job. The president will drive his own message. You know, nobody moves the moves the football down the field like Barack Obama.
Well, we'll see that when the game is really on, as Rick Santorum says. But, Sue, I so appreciate your call. And let me take it, if I may, to Kathy Obradovich. There you've got the chairwoman of the Democratic Iowa Democratic Party, Kathy, and she likes the outcome from last night. Now, does that sound reasonable to you? Does it look promising for the other side of the ledger?
Well, first of all, hi, Sue. We're going to have coffee soon.
Okay, okay.
We talk a lot. But yes, you know, I think that the Democrats do have a story to tell in Iowa. Starting right now, they'll have a bigger megaphone. Barack Obama is getting very organized in Iowa. He is not taking that state for granted at all. They've been on the ground for months, making phone calls, organizing volunteers. And they have eight campaign offices open around the state, which is more than any of the Republican candidates had leading up to the caucuses. So, Iowa is going to be a battleground in November, and it's something that whoever is the Republican nominee is going to have to deal with.
It's Iowa's big day. Let's test the waters there just a little more. Taylor in Iowa. Des Moines. Hi, Taylor. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I was just calling because I almost went out to caucus for Ron Paul. And I decided not to just because of the abortion stance. And he, I don't know, I feel like a lot of my friends like him and stuff, but I think this year is going to be me voting for Barack Obama again for my second time being able to vote. I'm going to be voting again just so that the Republican candidate doesn't win. And it's really frustrating for me because this is only my second time voting. And I wish that there was a candidate that just I could fully back, like Ron Paul. Totally has it in the bag for me, except for the few minuscule things that just make me despise him as a candidate.
And you voted for Obama last time. How's your enthusiasm level for the president now versus 4 years ago, Taylor, as a young voter?
Man. Well, he had my vote until he signed the NDAA on New Year's Eve, because that's...
Defense authorization with all of the... Yep.
Yep, basically being able to indefinitely detain American citizens without trial, that's terrifying.
Yeah. So, sounds like your passion for the president is declined.
Just a little bit. I mean, and by a little bit, I mean a lot. Because of that, it's definitely going to come down to me either not voting or voting for Obama just so someone like Ron Paul can't get into office and put his laws on my body, basically, I guess.
Taylor, our time is short, but I really appreciate your call. Neil King, young voter, voted passionately for Obama last time. You hear the ambivalence now. What are you reading in the way the oracles are emerging here, Neil, for November?
It's fascinating, because just in spending time in Des Moines, and I'm not talking about at events, which I did a lot of also, but just go to a bar, talk to the bartender, go to a restaurant, talk to the waiter. I met just enormous numbers of people just like Taylor, who was on the phone right there, who voted, you know, loved it 4 years ago, aren't that keen on the president now. And, that's going to be a big challenge for Obama to keep particularly the youth vote to his side. It is a picture of sort of dispiritedness on both sides of the divide in some ways, because, the Republicans were predicting this huge turnout last night. It would be the first time that Republicans could kind of cast a de facto vote against Barack Obama on the march to defeat him. And the turnout was like nominally better than it was 4 years ago, which doesn't necessarily show that, at least in this, pocket of Republicanism, that there's some big swell of excitement within the party kind of going forward. And so there's dispiritedness on both sides, it seems. And she was emblematic of that.
Kathy, let me ask you about all the super PAC money that poured into Iowa. Newt Gingrich made a huge stink about it. So much of it was aimed at him. So much of it was deployed by friends of Mitt Romney. And they can do it now after Citizens United, and they did it big time. Chris Matthews looked at it, said it was a kind of a disgrace. He called Iowa Dresden, sort of carpet-bombed by negative ads. Is this the new template? Is that what we're going to see in the coming year? All kinds of money from, in the millions from God knows who, bombing everybody that somebody's against, Kathy?
I hope not, but I fear that that is in fact going to be the case. I mean, we just saw how effective it was in dragging Newt Gingrich from the top of the polls down, just over almost overnight. I mean, within a matter of days. And Iowans really did not like that negativity. One of the reasons they liked Newt Gingrich to start with was his pledge to run a positive campaign. It got harder and harder for him to stick to that pledge. I do think that that is going to be a factor, and ultimately it probably will discourage voters possibly from turning out. People are like the caller, they want somebody that they can enthusiastically get behind. Republicans had to find out in Iowa is that they had to find somebody that they could live with. Nobody was perfect.
Kim, GOP, it's your party, so how about it today? Dispirited or feeling good?
I guess girding ourselves.
Somewhere that's in between.
Somewhere
that's
in the middle, girding ourselves.
Yeah.
It's a long way away. We gotta, I think we're drinking our Red Bull and eating our Pop Rocks, I guess.
Will you bring Pop Rocks back as president? And Mitt Romney says, I don't know, the market's gone against them. Conservative Rick Santorum and market man Mitt Romney in a dead heat out of Iowa. Really terrific to have the three of you with us. Kim Alfano, CEO of Alfano Communications, out of Washington today. Kim, thank you so much for your time and thoughts.
Thanks, Tom.
Neil King with the Wall Street Journal, covering in Iowa. Neil, I'm sure you'll be moving right along. We'll keep up. Thanks for joining us today.
Definitely, Tom. Take care.
And Kathy Obradovich, who called it like it was, hot hand for Rick Santorum out of Iowa. Kathy at the Des Moines Register, you're terrific. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.